Grab your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. We're working our way through this book. And this morning we will be talking about Abraham's big test. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Several weeks ago we talked about several other tests that Abraham and Hagar were going through. But this, I think, may be the biggest test of Abraham's life. So let's pray together. And then we'll dive in. Lord God in heaven, we just turn our eyes and our ears, our hearts towards you right now, Lord. And we thank you for this book, your Bible. Father, your gift to us, that you didn't want us to not know you, not find you. But you've come, you've revealed yourself to us, sent us, Lord, your love letter. I pray, Father, as we explore it today, that you will be so near, Lord, that you'll be the one teaching and speaking into each of our hearts, Lord, whatever message, whatever things we need to hear individually. Lord, thank you for the promise. I will guide you with my eye upon you. And so, Lord, we're just trusting you to speak to us today. And we thank you ahead of time. Pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Genesis 22, if you'll start with me in verse 1. It says, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. So if you stop there for a moment, I think this may be the clearest statement in the whole Bible, that sometimes God tests us. Even as those that he loves, sometimes he tests us. When I was young, in my teen years, my sister came home to live with us for a while. She had few kids, and she came with her kids, and she lived with us for a while. And so her oldest girl's name is Tanya. So at that time, she was just this little whisper of a girl, something like that. I'm guessing maybe 8 years old. And Tanya and I began what was for me a really fun relationship. So I would get home from school each day, and she and I would connect, and we would head down to the barn to do the chores down at the barn. So we would climb up in this big, tall hayloft, and I would break open one of the bales of hay. We had those square bales of hay with the rope around them. And Tanya and I would take the chunks of hay and throw it down into the manger that the cows are going to eat. And then we'd play around up there for a while, swing on the rope, that kind of thing, and climb back down. But coming down, Tanya couldn't get all the way down by herself. The last step was there was like a 6-foot railing, which is where the cows stuck their heads through. So she'd be up on top of that railing, and I would reach up, grab her under the arms, and swing her around, set her down on the ground. So one day, we started a game together. I said, she's standing up there. I said, Tanya, jump. And she's like, get closer. And so I got closer and closer and closer until my hands were about this far from her armpits, and she jumped into my hands, and I swung her around and set her down on the ground. Well, this became our game, and every single day I would test Tanya because I would stand a little bit further away, and I would say, jump. And each day it got further and further. Until at the end of the summer, I'm here to tell you, this little 8-year-old girl would launch herself out over nothing, as far as she could jump, just trusting that I'm going to be there, I'm going to grab her under the arms, swing her around, and set her down gently on the ground. And because of it, Tanya and I built this really fun a relationship based on trust of one another. And it's such a cool picture to me because I believe this is what God wants to develop with you and I, this relationship based on faith. As a matter of fact, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he's the rewarder of those who seek him. So God tests us, but it's not because he's mean or cruel or having a bad day. But he tests us because he wants to build this beautiful relationship. And those tests accomplish several different things. One of the things they accomplish is they show us things about ourselves. Take, for example, we'll get back to Abraham in just a second. But take, for example, the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus. Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? He says, well, keep the commandments. He names some of them. And the guy says, well, no. I've done that all my life. What do I still lack? And so Jesus says, okay, go sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, come follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Now, we know that that rich young man went away sad that day because he wasn't ready. He was more involved and more in love with his riches than he was with God. But isn't it interesting? I think he learned something about himself that day. And God uses these tests in our lives to teach us things about ourselves and to bring us along on this journey. He also uses those tests in our lives to do things in us that we could not do any other way. So here we go with Abraham's test, back in verse 1. It came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. So just from these first three verses, we see immediately that Abraham intends to obey God, right? He's been on this journey for a while. God's been bringing him along, teaching him about faith. You know, early on, he said, Abraham, leave your country. Go to this land I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless all the earth in you. And so Abraham has gone there and he's learning to live by faith. But he's made some mistakes, right? We've talked about them already. Some of them significant mistakes. But today, Abraham is soaring. It's like he's launched himself out over nothing. He is trusting God in this. And I want you to see just how far he's come. If you would turn with me, keep your finger there in Genesis 22. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Because Hebrews 11 tells us a little bit more about what Abraham is thinking that day. And I just want you to read that so you can kind of experience his journey. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 17, says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Okay, that, I believe, is talking about Abraham, because he's the one who received the promises, right? We just mentioned them. Leave your land. I'll take you to this new land. I'll give it to you. I'll make you a great nation, etc. He's the one who received the promises, and he's offering up his only begotten son. Verse 18 completes that thought. It says, it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac, your descendants shall be called. Okay, so remember his journey. Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. Lord, I don't have any kids. My heir is going to be the slave that's in my house. Nope, it's going to be your own kids. Later, they decide, okay, we'll have him marry another woman. Nope, not Ishmael, in Isaac, your descendants will be called. Verse 18, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. So in verse 19, you find out what Abraham is thinking. It says, he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead. So as far as I can tell, here's Abraham's thought process. All right, Lord, it's not my servant. It's not Ishmael. You said it's Isaac. Now you told me to go take my son Isaac and offer him up. That means you're going to raise him from the dead. What a faith journey to believe that something that incredible. But we're going to see some hints of this. Go back with me to Genesis 22, verse 4. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Okay, I think there's a hint of it right there. Abraham said, we will worship and we'll return to you. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. I think this has to be one of the most poignant, maybe saddest verses in the Bible. I mean, I know the end of the story, so it's not sad from that regard. But just try to picture, there goes Abraham. Okay, this old man, he's now over 100 years old. And maybe holding by the hand, he's got his young son, his beloved son, Isaac. And they are walking off towards Mount Moriah, where Abraham is supposed to sacrifice his own son. Goodness, that's got to be heart-wrenching for Abraham. What an incredible step of faith. And I just think we need to ask ourselves this question. Because Abraham has taken this journey of faith. He's been learning to trust God. Learning to trust God. God is bigger than Pharaoh. God is bigger than Abimelech. I thought I was going to lose my life. God protected me. God is incredible. The question for us is, as we are going through this journey of life, maybe we have our children with us, maybe we have a friend with us or a disciple, someone we're trying to help grow in the Lord with us. Are we going to do the things that God asks us to do? Are we going to take these steps of faith and obedience? Even when they're hard, even when they're confusing, maybe we don't understand them, will we do it? It's part of the journey of faith. People are watching, right? I'm telling you, Isaac is watching his dad. He probably does not understand most of what's going to happen that day. And maybe he, I don't know, at the end, maybe he didn't even understand it. But I believe later in Isaac's life, he will look back and he'll go, okay, Dad was walking by faith. They talked about this. Dad didn't want to do this. Dad was walking by faith. And so they're just walking along and talking as they go. It's an incredible picture. I want you to look at one other verse with me again. If you would keep your finger in Genesis 22, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay, it's just the fifth book there in your Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is such a neat picture of what's happening there with Abraham and his son. Start in verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. So that's what Abraham's doing today, right? He's loving God. He's obeying God before any other love in his life. I'm sure Kathy remembers. I think we were both there, but we were with this couple or with the wife one day or something. And she said something like, you know, I've heard people say that I should put God before my husband. She said, I can't do it. I can't figure it out. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. I think the thing she wasn't seeing was if she learned to love God first, he would end up helping her love her husband in a way she didn't even think possible. because he's the strength of our life. But that's what Abraham is doing this day. He's putting God first. Even though this is his beloved son, he's trusting and obeying God. But look at the next verse. He says, "These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." What a picture. Here Abraham is walking along with his young son, and they're just talking about these things. As a matter of fact, that's what happens in the very next verse, back in chapter 22, verse 7. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" So Isaac is an astute young man. Maybe he's done this before, but he's like, "Dad, something's missing. Where's the offering?" And it's a good, honest question. I am astonished by Abraham's answer. We're going to get to that in just one second. But I can't help mentioning this thought. Isaac has a question. It's an honest question. And he asks Abraham, and Abraham doesn't brush him off. And I believe the same is true for us, that God wants us to ask him honest questions that we need information about. But I think it's also important for us to remember some answers are too big for us to handle. Remember how we talked about that in Corrie ten Boom's life? You know, she said that about her dad. Some things are just too heavy for you. And that's sort of what happens here today. Abraham gives him an answer, but it's not all the answer because he knows Isaac can't take it yet. So we need to be ready and willing and asking God our honest questions. But when it's not the right timing, we just have to be able to trust him and rest in him through that. So here's his answer. Abraham's answer is in verse 8. Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. I think that answer came from God himself. You know, what in the world do you say to a question like that? And it is true on so many levels. God had provided his son, Isaac. He had waited 25 years. They were barren. They couldn't have children. And now, miraculously, here he is. God gave them a son. So he had provided a son. But as we all know, you probably know, later in this chapter, we're going to read it together, God provides a substitute. God provides the second offering. God will provide for himself the offering. And I think the words probably are prophetic. He's speaking of the offering of Jesus Christ on the cross for the sins of the world. God will provide for himself the offering, my son. So much wrapped up in that little statement where Abraham is answering his son. But let's go ahead and read some more of this now. Verse 9, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood." Just let that sink in for a moment. "Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham!' And he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son." Important words, a substitute. We're going to talk about that more in just a second. "Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided." Okay, so what a story. Think about it for a moment. Abraham waits 25 years. He finally gets his promised son. So you know this is like the fulfillment of a life dream, of a future dream for Abraham. And then in the ultimate test, God says, okay, Abraham, do you trust me? It's like he said, jump. And amazingly, Abraham jumped. He jumped. And after he did, God supplied a substitute. So this is a huge and beautiful picture of what Jesus did for us. Of course, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I don't know what it was in your life. I know what it was in my life. But, you know, the Ten Commandments, it's just easy to run through those. Have you always put the Lord first in your life? Have you always honored your father and your mother? Have you always been kind? Have you ever stolen? Have you ever told a lie? You know, you probably know the list almost as well as I do. But the Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because of that, we have this moral debt that we owe to God, and we are actually deserving of his judgment. But instead of judging us, instead of putting us in that position, putting us on that cross and taking our life, God gave a substitute. And his son Jesus went to the cross for us. And when he hung there on that cross and his blood was spilled and his body broken, he says, the Bible says he was pierced through for our transgressions. So he took my place. He took your place. And anyone who will trust him with that, just like Abraham trusted him this day, okay, Lord, I can't get there on my own, but you gave a sacrifice in my place. Anyone who will trust him for that will be forgiven. What an incredible story. What amazing love that God would himself would do that. I'm sometimes so surprised that the whole world, we're not all Christians, when I think about that simple truth of God's love and God's forgiveness. But there it is, just as clear as day. So verse 15, and you got to love what the Lord's response to all of this now, starting in verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So God is very excited about Abraham's faith. It's like, yes, he got it. You know, I remember some of those jumps with Tanya, and I can remember standing way back there and just being amazed that this little tiny girl would trust me that much. Okay? Yeah, I was young and dumb. What if I missed her? Sorry. I would say I'm sorry. But you know what? It was cool to have that relationship built on faith. And that is what God is looking for, I think, in his relationship with us. As a matter of fact, I think through this journey, God is trying to teach us things we cannot learn any other way. You know, I think about Tanya that first day. There's no way Tanya could jump those 4 feet out to me. No way. She did not have it in her. She was scared to death, almost to jump this far. You know, it was almost like she just leaned in and, oh, okay, I've got you. So she couldn't have done it. But after a summer of trial and error and test and stretching that little girl, she just whoosh, and she's as light as a feather. It was not hard, guys. It wasn't that dangerous. I'm just saying. Anyhow, God is at work in us, and the deal is part of it depends on us. Part of it depends on our response to Him. We've talked about two very different responses today. We talked about the rich young ruler. Remember, he went away very sad. I believe Jesus said to him, "Young man, jump. I've got you." He didn't do it. He went away very sad. I'm hoping he got it later. You know, maybe when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, like we were talking about this morning, maybe he was one of that crowd, one of those 3,000. And he's like, "I'm ready now." And it was part of his possessions that got sold to provide for the needs of others. I hope he got there. But we know Abraham got there. He had a very different response, a response of faith. And that, I believe, is where the Lord wants you and I to be. We have an opportunity to live a life of daily walking with Him, daily trusting Him, just walking in the Spirit. I love to talk about this, you know, because walking is an every step journey, right? It's not like you can quit. Every step. If this leg decides it's going on vacation for my next step, I'm going down. Walking in the Spirit is an everyday, every step journey of learning to trust the Lord and walk with Him. So let that be your journey. Well, let's pray together. Lord God in heaven, I just thank you that you are here today. Lord, none of us, we're not in this room alone. Father, you're here in your great power and your incredible love. Lord, the beautiful, amazing Savior of all humanity, you died for the sins of all the world. Lord, how I thank you. Father, I thank you for this amazing man named Abraham and his journey, Lord, that he didn't quit. He kept on growing. He kept on following you and learning to walk day by day with you. Make us like him, I pray. In the beautiful name of Christ, amen.